We are in week 3 or 4 of our summer series on mentors. And we've been looking at different mentors in Scripture. Pastor Stewart sort of started us off talking about his father and how his father had mentored him growing up and how we might also bless and mentor the children in our communities. Pastor Sam has spent some time talking about Abraham and Lot. Do we need my microphone closer to my mouth? I'm seeing a lot of ears. Hands and ears. Ooh. How's that? Better? Well, I'll have to hold it. Okay. Better? I feel like I'm shouting now. Pastor Sam has spent some time on Abraham and Lot and talked about mentoring within the family and what it means to have a family business and all of the conflicts that can happen through that. And then he spent last week talking about Saul and David and what do you do when your skills eclipse the skills of your mentor and how do you navigate that. This morning, we'll be talking about a judge in Israel named Deborah and how she mentored a general in an army, an unlikely mentorship, if you will. I want to give you some background, and then instead of reading the passage directly as it is printed in your bulletin, I'll read a couple of sentences and give you some background so that we can enter this story perhaps with a little more context and knowledge of what it meant. So here's the background. Actually, let's pray first. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the many mentors in our lives and for the way that you have called us also to pour our lives into others. Have mercy on us as we explore Deborah and Barak. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the background. God has brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. They have wandered through the desert for 40 years. They've come to the promised land under the leadership of Moses and then the leadership of Joshua. Moses is gone. Joshua is gone. Who's leading Israel? A lot of different judges are leading Israel, and there's a pattern in the book of Judges. A judge comes and leads their people, leads God's people. God's people remember who they are and they worship God, and then they wander spiritually. They start worshiping other gods. They forget who they are. And then God has to reel them back. And unfortunately, one of the ways that God reels them back is by having them be conquered by neighboring countries. It happens over and over again in the book of Judges. In the midst of God's blessing, the people forget who they are, and they wander away from their relationship to God. And then they cry out to God for deliverance, and then God provides a judge. And this pattern has happened a couple of times already in Judges, and when we get to chapter 4 in Deborah, this chapter shows us that Israel has again morphed from a certainty to confusion. They've morphed from a certainty in who they are and a trust in God to confusion about who they might be if they worshipped other gods. This time, it was the Canaanites. They've dominated and brutally taken back over the land, violently oppressing the people of God again. They used a very severe force of a Philistinian general whose name was Sisera. Sisera has 900 chariots at his disposal. Israel had none. These chariots were used for the pursuit and killing of a fleeing army. One scholar calls them killing platforms. If I were a person living at that time, in that place, I think I might know fear and discouragement. This time of intimidation lasted for 20 years. Enter Deborah. I'm going to start reading the passage now. Now Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading, judging Israel at that time. A leader, a judge in Israel, was a person of God's choosing, called to help bring the people back into the right relationship with God. A judge at this time served as a mouthpiece of God. The task of a judge would include administration, settling disputes, and sometimes military leadership. We see from this passage that Deborah was not only a judge, Deborah was also a prophet. She had a special way of hearing from God and a special way of seeing what it was that God wanted for God's people. Deborah also happens to be the only female judge in this book, recorded in Scripture. She's a leader among her people. She's a servant of God. The people might have been confused about who they were. They might have been discouraged about their circumstances. But Deborah was not one bit confused. She was able to hear from God. She was able to remind the people who they were. And she wasn't confused about who God was. Verse 5. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali. Now, if you hold out your left hand in front of you, pretend like your hand is a map of Israel. Right at the bottom in the center of your palm, that's where the palm of Deborah was. Okay? She called for Barak, I have a hard time pronouncing that name, in Naphtali. And that was about 60 miles away. If you go to the top joint of your ring finger, that's about where that was. Here's Deborah sitting under a palm, all kinds of people coming to her for advice, to be reminded who they are, to be judged, to have her judge their circumstances. And she, through prayer, through discernment, through listening to God, decides to send for a man who's 60 miles away. Remember, they don't have cars or phones or email or text messages. It would have taken a while for that to get to him. It would have taken him a while to get back down to her. I wonder what it was like for him to receive that summons from this woman who sits under the palm of Deborah. What was it like to journey to her? How long did it take him? What kind of thoughts were running through his mind? This woman judge is wanting me to go before her. I hope I'm not in trouble. Was it dangerous to make this kind of journey? And how unexpected was it for him to have to make it? So, after some journeying, he arrives at the palm tree of Deborah, and Deborah says to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Huh. I just walked 60 miles to respect this mother of Israel, this judge Deborah, who seems to be in charge of this nation, such as it is, even though it's under occupation right now, and she's telling me to take 10,000 men and go up against 900 chariots? This woman has no idea what she's asking me to do. 900 chariots could easily defeat 10,000 men. Barak is scared, and he's uncertain. And so he responds, "If you go with me, Deborah, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." What a very curious response. Barak is asking Deborah to mentor him, to go with him. He seems to know that Deborah has a special ear to God, that she's a woman respected in community. He probably wants her advice, and he knows her prophecy, but that's not quite enough for him. He wants her physically with him, almost like God with skin on, so that he can be assured that he's actually doing the right thing. And I love Deborah's response. It's so hard to read any emotion into it, although I read her emotion as a mother who sometimes gets annoyed with what her children ask her to do. Here's what she says. "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. And the mentor was present with her mentee right up to the battle line. And that was another 60 miles journey, kind of up maybe to the top joint of your pointer finger there from the bottom of your palm. With 10,000 men, it takes a while to collect that many men. And it was then when they were settled in camp, it was Deborah who told him when the time was right. "Go," she said. This day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone before you? You might think it's impossible, but I know God has gone before you. A mentor reminding him of the strength of God. And with all 900 chariots resting in a very large dry riverbed, the Lord brought a flood. And those chariots were really heavy and very useless. And all the soldiers started running. And there weren't 10,000 of them. And there was not one left, except for Sisera. Remember the Philistinian brutal general who was not a reign of peace over Israel. He fled, and he went into the tent of who he thought was an ally, and that ally's wife was home, and she said, "Oh, take a rest." And while he was resting, this woman killed him. And so Sisera was delivered into the hand of a woman. Judges chapter 4 is where this story is found. And then in Judges chapter 5, there's another version of the story, and it's a song written and composed and sung by Deborah. In it, Deborah calls herself a mother in Israel. It was Deborah, a mother in Israel, who was used of God to mentor the commander of an army to bring his people back into freedom. An unexpected mentor, a woman who made herself available to listen to the promptings of God and who allowed herself to be inconvenienced to work with her mentee. So the question is, what does Deborah tell us about being a mentor? I love this model of a woman of a certain age who had the respect of a nation and who had the ability to make a difference. What was it about her? I believe that Deborah teaches those of us who have reached a certain age what it looks like to be a good mentor. It also teaches some of you who haven't reached that certain age yet, perhaps what to look for when you are looking for someone to mentor you. I believe that Deborah models faith and ability, but I believe there are three specific characteristics that can be translated to us today as we seek to be faithful to God through mentoring or seek people to mentor us. The first trait: a good mentor is grounded. My grandfather in the 70s built a mountain cabin on the top of a mountain in Utah where there are a lot of lightning storms. One of the requirements was that he built a lightning rod so that the house would be grounded, not if it were ever struck by lightning, but when it is struck by lightning. And it is struck by lightning several times a year. And it's a good thing that that house is grounded with a lightning rod. What that translates to me as is we need to be people who are grounded because lightning will strike and we need to not catch fire every time there's a crisis. Deborah was rooted and grounded in the love of God. She knew who God was and she knew who she was. And she wasn't swayed by terrible, terrible circumstances. She had her eye to the big picture. When others looked around and saw discouragement, she was able to remain confident in the God who delivered her people so many generations ago. She was not swayed by time or situation. How tempting is it for some of us of a certain age, again, to become discouraged about the direction of our culture? Or how many of us see people being swayed by circumstances that are temporary? I don't know anything about the financial sector. But I do know what the media reports, and that is that times are uncertain and there is difficulty. And some people are not grounded, and they're allowing circumstances to dictate their responses instead of remembering what the basis is for their trade. Deborah had a security and a faith that enabled her to hear the voice of God. And she wasn't in denial. She knew how bad things were. She was able to praise regardless of circumstances. Deborah was not only grounded, she was respected. People came to seek her judgment from miles away. She had a stellar reputation. Reputation matters. Wisdom can be seen in every field. And so those of you who are younger and you're looking for people to mentor you, as you seek those elders, look for reputation and respect. Look for people who are grounded, who aren't swayed by circumstances, who aren't denying the circumstances, but who are able to remember who they are and see who you are at your core in the midst of that. So that's the first thing. Deborah was grounded. As we mentor, being grounded is important. The second thing, a mentor inspires courage, sometimes with a megaphone, like a cheerleader. The key character trait that I see in Deborah is that she was an encourager. She initiated the contact with Barak. She was certain of his potential. A mentor can seek younger people out who may not know themselves yet what their potential is. She saw what could be, and she was certain of it. As I mentioned in chapter 5, this song of Deborah, she refers to herself as a mother in Israel. She certainly seems to have a motherly love toward her people. Being an encourager, she was full of faith. Deborah encouraged Barak and those she traveled with because of what she believed about them and what she believed about God. She had a belief that God cares and God is active. Maya Angelou says this, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." I'm going to say that again. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Deborah made Barak feel like he could actually do this. Why? Because of who God was, who God is. Fred Pryor is a well-known organization that offers full-day seminars for people in the workplace. And their seminar on supervising people, I learned that the number one need that people have from their mentors, from their supervisors, is feedback. Without feedback, they don't know how they're doing, whether doing a good job or a bad job. I translate feedback as encouragement, even if it's a little bit negative and there's a challenge there. Feedback is required. How do you know whether you've done an okay job? Hopefully your supervisor tells you. Deborah was present to encourage and to give feedback. And she made them feel like they were able. So, a good mentor is grounded, inspires courage, is encouraging, not discouraging. And the third thing is, a mentor is available. Deborah was available. She walked the extra mile. She walked the extra 60 miles. She called a man from the extra mile to do some work. Maybe she was riding on a camel or a donkey, I don't know. Mentors walk alongside their mentees to give support. And it was actually inconvenient for Deborah to do this. We don't know what her family life was like. I am assuming that her children were out of the home, but we don't know. We know she was married. She would have had responsibilities at home. How did she just leave? Okay, honey, I'm going to go on a battle. I'll be back later. Why don't you just take care of the laundry and the house? It was not convenient for her. It was not convenient for her household, but she was able to do it because she was willing to be available. It took sacrifice on her part. "If you go with me, I will go," said Barak. He needed Deborah to go with him. And instead of kicking him out and calling him a wimp, reminding him that, "Well, I'm a woman, how am I going to go?" she went. And there was a consequence that actually Barak didn't get credit for killing Sisera, but there was no hesitancy in her response to him. "Yes, I will go with you." There was sacrifice involved. The first part of the Song of Deborah in chapter 5, Deborah says this, "When locks are long in Israel," that means when people grow their hair out of a sign of commitment to God, "when locks are long in Israel, when the people offer themselves willingly, bless the Lord." When the people offer themselves willingly, regardless of cost to them or inconvenience, bless the Lord. Friends, sometimes being a mentor is inconvenient. Maybe you have to take calls on the weekend. Maybe you have to attend a few extra meetings. Maybe you have to dig really deep to find those words of encouragement or feedback because it doesn't come naturally to you. It's work. But how worth it was it to see a whole nation restored because of it, to see the difference that it makes in the lives of her people? I believe that Deborah's groundedness, her encouragement, and her availability actually reflect a little bit in the Old Testament what it was like when Christ came. Of course, Christ being the ultimate mentor. Jesus was grounded. He never forgot who he was. He never lost contact with God. He was only able to do what he did because he was in communion constantly with God, regardless of circumstances. And there were a lot of bad circumstances for Jesus. Jesus was someone who inspired courage. He knew that his followers would forget who they were occasionally, often. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be with them, to remind them who they were. And he himself was with us. Jesus was grounded. He inspired courage. And Jesus wasn't available, actually very sacrificially available, in ways that had to have been quite inconvenient for him. He was willing to sacrifice his whole life so that a whole people, we, could be delivered. I love that image of Christ as a mentor in similar ways that Deborah was a mentor. Of course, every metaphor breaks down and Deborah was not Christ. Please don't walk away hearing that. But I do believe that's our challenge, to be grounded, to be encouragers, and to be available. Please pray with me. Lord, we are so grateful for the witness of Deborah, for the way that you used her. Lord, that you would use us, that you would change our attitudes where they need to be changed, that you would show us how to give good, encouraging feedback to others, how to be grounded regardless of circumstance, and how to be willing to sacrifice. We surrender our lives to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.